The Word of God this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is kind of a carryover from my own congregation. They print the English Heritage Version, and I read the NIV version. We want to just look at the differences sometimes. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Dear members of Bethany Lutheran, brothers and sisters in Christ, with me and all God's people, thank you for having me here today on your mission festival to hear something about a compulsion for compassion. You all know what a compulsion is. That's when you just have to do something. There's no rhyme or reason why you do it. It could be an emotional thing. Well, maybe it's just a reaction thing. It's kind of like yelling at the TV when the referees make a bad call for your favorite sports team. Why do you do that? Well, it's just a compulsive thing we do. Compulsive things that we do could be good, they could be bad. Compulsive eating, not a good thing. Compulsive shopping, probably not a good thing either. Compulsive gambling, I mean, the list could go on with all kind of compulsive disorders. That's a bad thing. But if you have the compulsion to share Jesus, that's always going to be a good thing. And that compulsion to share Jesus comes out of a compulsion for compassion. The Apostle Paul said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Now, did you notice anything kind of special about what Paul wrote about God? Well, first of all, he says we should be praising Him or blessed to be. How do we do that? Well, we acknowledge that God is the one and only source. He's the source of all our blessings. Though we don't deserve any of them, He still provides us with everything we need for both body and soul. And why is that? He's the Father of compassion. Have you ever heard that phrase, the Father of something? Like the Father of medicine. Who would that be? Hippocrates. The father of that dreaded class in high school, geometry. Euclid. The father of the United States Constitution. James Madison is the correct answer. The father of the automobile industry. Not the father of the automobile, completely different guy, didn't even live in this country, but the father of the automobile industry is Henry Ford. And finally, the father of the bomb, physicist J. Robert Oppenheimer. And who is the father of compassion? Our God is the Father of compassion. That means He is the one attributed with the source and the originality of compassion. And what do we mean by compassion? I'm really sorry that you lost your job. I feel so bad for you. Oh my goodness, no one told me you were diagnosed with cancer. That's just horrible. Oh, I feel so bad for you. Is that compassion? Actually, that's sympathy. Compassion. I feel really bad that you lost your job. I think I have a couple of contacts. Can I give them your name? That's compassion. Oh my goodness, you were diagnosed with cancer. What kind again was it? Oh, I know a specialist and he owes me a favor. I will give him your name and the receptionist will be looking out for it. You'll get in sooner rather than later. That's compassion. Sympathy, you just feel bad for someone. Compassion, you feel bad for someone and you actually do something about it. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve did a bad thing. They sinned against God. And in the cool of the evening, God came to them like he had been in the habit of doing. And what did Adam and Eve do? Well, they ran away and hid. And God finally found them. And what did he do? Oh, I feel so bad for you that you've sinned. You know, this really has messed things up. I don't think you understand what you got yourself into. I'm so sorry for you. That doesn't sound like our God. He confronted them with their sin, and then he promised them a Savior. He did something about their predicament. That's compassion. We see the compassion of our Heavenly Father when we look at the cross. On the cross, we see all our sins transferred from us to our Savior Jesus. On the cross, we see Jesus willingly scooping them up, hoisting them to his shoulder, and bearing that load, that burden of sin and guilt, and willingly accepting the punishment for all our sin. The cross is where we see the compassion of our God. Not willing just to be sympathetic to our sinful condition, but willing to act and do something to rid us of our sins, to clothe us with the holiness and righteousness of his Son. And that compassion is what brings us comfort. He is the God of all comfort. All comfort, not some comfort, not a little bit of comfort, but whatever it is you are facing in life, God is the God of all comfort. If you do not find your comfort in our God and Lord, it's not that there's something wrong with him, it's something wrong with you. You're looking for the wrong kind of comfort. Maybe you're looking for a comfortable life, an easy life. After all, we're God's children. Shouldn't he make it just a bed of roses for us? Not necessarily. Jesus did remind his disciples before his suffering and death, if they do this to me, what do you think they will do to you? And let's remember, Satan is always out there. And who do you think he's going after? Each and every one of us. The comfort we receive from God is the comfort of knowing his word. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. It's the comfort we need. Some of us have aging parents. My children think that, most definitely. And what do they worry about? Oh, mom and dad are getting crotchety. Mom and dad, maybe they're coming down with dementia or Alzheimer's. Oh, to them a comfort would be a cure. But isn't the comfort, and this is just 35 years of my experiences, isn't the comfort that someone with dementia or Alzheimer's does not forget Jesus? One lady, she was a member of my congregation, she had dementia or Alzheimer's, and if I walked into the nursing home and I wasn't singing this little gospel light of mine or Jesus loves me, this I know, she took one look at me and she ran away screaming rape. And the nursing home staff laughed every time. They got such a big kick out of it. But singing those songs, she just would walk up to me and tell me about Jesus again. And she'd recite the 23rd Psalm. And she'd pray the Lord's Prayer. She hadn't forgotten about the Lord. She had forgotten everybody else, and she accused me of what? That's the comfort. She clung to her Lord and Savior just as Mary Magdalene clung to our Savior's feet on Easter morning. That's a comfort. A diagnosis of a medical issue, any kind of medical issue. Oh, wouldn't it be a comfort to know that God is working on a cure through all the medical stuff that's out there, the scientists, the research, and so on? Well, it would be, but what if it doesn't happen? Don't we then look to the Apostle Paul and say, look, the Apostle Paul would have been a greater missionary if only God had cured him of whatever that disease was that laid him up for months at a time. But God didn't do it. And when the Apostle Paul prayed and prayed and prayed, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he was informed, listen, my strength is made known in your weakness. Everybody would have said what a great missionary Paul was. Look at everything he did. Well, yeah, because he was healthy. No, look at everything he did because he relied on God to give him the strength because of his illness. And so when God permits us to struggle with this, that, or the other thing, it's because he wants his strength to shine through in our lives. And we can point to our God and say, it's him. It's his power. He is the one who's helping me. And then, of course, we have the death of a loved one. Oh my, the tears flow, and rightly so. But why do the tears flow? Sometimes people are crying because they feel guilty. I shouldn't feel relieved. They've been the caretaker for the last 2.5 years. I loved my husband, my wife, uncle, aunt, whoever it was. I loved them dearly. Why? Well, because a burden has been lifted from you. And you should rejoice. They're in heaven. And your separation now is only temporary. Yeah, I know. You won't get to travel like you had planned in retirement. You won't get to do this or you won't get to do that. But you will be in heaven again, together, for eternity. Whatever our situation, doesn't God have the comfort for us? And if it isn't comforting, it's not God that's at fault. It's us. Now, we have the comfort for all our troubles from God. And what can we do with that comfort? Well, we can share that comfort. I mean, think about it. Many of you who have gone through being a new mom, do you think a new mom would appreciate having a little bit of comforting advice? You can reach out in that way. Think of the connections you can make within yourselves as your own support group or out in the community. Think of dads and how frustrated they can get with teenage sons. Maybe that was only mine. Or maybe it was only me, but think of the advice older dads can give who have survived their children's teenage years. Relax, keep calm, they're going to grow up to be fine Christian young men. Sometimes mothers and daughters don't get along so well. Maybe there can be a mother's group. Yes, it's difficult now. But your child will continue to grow, mature, become a fine Christian young woman. There are all kinds of ways to help one another. And then to take that same kind of help that you give each other and take it out into the community. Because don't you want the community of Carmel and the surrounding suburbs, Westfield, Noblesville, and so on, don't you want them to see you as a caring Christian community? I mean, you already know that you are. But now the question is, how do we let everyone else know that we are? And in little ways, you can just reach out to people in their time of need. Oh, it doesn't sound religious, but it'll lead there. How can you maintain your cool, calm, collected nature? Because I have received comfort from God. I know that my Heavenly Father is the Father of compassion. And He isn't going to leave me hanging. But He's going to do something always to help me. And what a beautiful message to take to people who are searching, who are wondering, who are doubting. And you have all these different ways of bringing it to them when they have need. And isn't that what compassion is all about? Not turning our back on people, but turning ourselves toward them and then being able to direct them to the cross and to our Lord and Savior and helping them find the comfort that they so desperately seek. It gives us a lot to think about. A lot we have to look into our own hearts. Can I do this? How can I do it? Who would I approach? What would I do? What would I say? But all good things to think about. And as you continue your study of God's Word, all these things will become clear. For not only does our God comfort us, He helps us to find those answers as well. So the next time you find yourself yelling at the TV, compulsively shopping, or whatever it is, remember who you are. A child of God who has a compulsion for compassion, a compulsion to reach out with the love of God, the forgiveness of sins, and the certainty of eternal life to people who so desperately need all those things. Amen.